So we've made it to the end of our stewardship season, and we're wrapping up today with the dedication festival. And I was very much looking forward to having John in town, having him gathering us together around this Eucharistic table. But I'll just have to placate myself with the fact that we had a really good night at karaoke on Friday. Someone voiced in our online discussion Wednesday that we call our sermon circle that a dedication festival was a new thing for them, not one they'd heard of before. And this is someone who has attended church forever. So I should probably give a moment to explain exactly what this is and why we have the readings we have today that fall out of our usual cycle of going through Matthew, which is what we call year A in our three-year cycle. The final Sunday in October is given by the Anglican Church of Canada as an opportunity to celebrate the dedication, the consecration of the church, of a church building. It's provided as an alternative to the usual Sunday observance for those communities either that don't know when their church was dedicated, and there are a surprising number, or did not celebrate it at any other time of the year, for whatever reason. Well, that's us. We didn't mark the anniversary of our dedication of St. John's back in September, so it seems a good way to end the season of stewardship and to celebrate the life of our community. Plus, I think I prefer the name Dedication Sunday to Commitment Sunday, which is what we previously have called this Sunday as we encourage one another to commit our pledge for the coming year in order that David, our treasurer, can work with the finance group in preparing a budget for the year ahead. I like the idea of dedicating ourselves to one another, to our shared life, to our shared service and ministry. It feels to me that dedication is somewhat more of an emotional investment than committing, but that might just be me. So for our readings for today, and I got to choose from a selection of readings offered for this day, which is not something I get to do very often because the lectionary is normally quite clear about what we have week by week. So I take responsibility for all the scriptures you heard today. Well, I mean, I didn't write them or anything. I just chose them. I was struck as soon as I read one verse that stood out from our Hebrew scripture passage for today. And I could do what I did at Sermon Circle on Wednesday and ask you if you could guess what it is, because that filled a few minutes. But as we don't have the full text printed in the leaflets, I think that's a little bit of an unfair thing to ask you all to do. So I'll tell you. We heard in the passage from 1 Kings for today an account of King Solomon praying at the temple, the first temple, at its dedication. This was built in Jerusalem probably about 1,000 years before Christ and destroyed at the time of the exile in Babylon, somewhere around 6 centuries before Jesus. And when 10,000 of the leaders of Israel were taken away and exiled into Babylon. And as Solomon is praying at the dedication of this great temple, he says, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Even heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less this house I have built." Will God indeed dwell on the earth? Solomon recognizes that no house of worship will ever contain or constrain the divine. And yet, he recognizes the value, the importance of having a place where human beings could gather and call to mind in a particular way the work of God in their lives. A place to learn, a place to pray, a place to discuss, a place that fulfills the need for ritual that we carry as part of our humanity. In the book The Dynamics of Religion by Bruce Reed, the author recognizes that the purpose of any church gathering is to send people out. Our community here gathers to be brought together in faith, to learn, to listen, to pray, to sing, to be a part of this sacred community gathered around this sacred feast. But we do that to nourish and to inspire us to do the work and be the people that we are called to be beyond these walls. To be the people that we are called to be in service to God's world. And what goes on because of our gatherings is much more important than what goes on in our gatherings. I'm going to say that again. What goes on because of our gatherings is much more important than what goes on in our gatherings. I grew up with the often repeated, well, the church is the people, not the building. And I deeply believe in that. Community, as you hear me say again and again, is the heart of all we are and all we're called to be. A spiritual community, a worshiping community, an affirming community, a serving community, a learning community, a caring community, a celebrating community, a supportive community. And also we have this building, this place to gather and share our hopes, to share our cares, to share our concerns and our needs. It's a place of beauty, of worship, of discernment, of nourishment, and of joy and sorrow. It's a place that many of us would call our spiritual home, where we can enjoy worship, friendship, coffee with a new coffee maker, and above all, the love of a Christian community. I think the value of this place, of being able to gather, came into stark focus for many of us during pandemic, when we realized the value of not just what we do, because we could do much of that online, but of who we are when we are gathered together. I give thanks and I celebrate the life of this church community and each one of you who makes it up, no matter how long you have been a part of St. John's. Thank you. We probably don't say that enough. Our readings also remind us of the responsibility of being this community and of our responsibilities to one another in community and to the community beyond our walls and this great creation which we are called to steward. In our reading from the book of Revelation, we have one of my favorite passages from that vision of St. John the Revelator, or maybe St. John the Divine. The jury's out on authorship. But it's a very deliberate closing of the circle from the creation myths of our Hebrew forebears. There we see the God who walks in the garden with Adam and Eve. And then we go through this long process over hundreds of years of considering where God is. In temples, in fields, in idols, definitely not. In people, and ultimately with us. For those who still hold a picture of a post-mortem destination called heaven, anyone who ends up there is going to be a long way from where God is. Revelation 21 verse 3 says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be God's peoples, and God will be with them. The image of a heavenly city is not out there light years away, but right here. And of course, the whole book of Revelation is a vision, perhaps one with the influence of some herbs, perhaps a deeply political treatise critiquing the Roman Empire without mentioning the Roman Empire. There's lots of spilled ink about the meaning and purpose of the book, but the author does get one thing. God is with us, not contained within a temple, but everywhere. So as with many parts of our Christian journey, our Christian understanding, we hold in tension the idea of a God who is all in all, within all, between all, and the God who we consciously open ourselves to in our worship and in our gathering together. We hold affection for our building and our community, but recognize our calling is to be beyond the building, living out the values of love, justice, equity, faith, and hope. Deep within the bones of our Judeo-Christian understanding is the recognition of place, of being rooted where we are planted, We are called to incarnate the divine life in our gatherings, in our buildings, in our work, and in our prayer, in the love that we share and in the love that we live. I celebrate this community. I celebrate all that we have done in our 160 years plus in this place. Well, this and a place that's about four blocks that way. But that's part of our bigger story, and I'll leave you to read the Iron Church to find out about that. I celebrate all that we continue to do. And here and now, I dedicate myself to continuing to serve you and to lead here as I'm called. And I invite you, as we wrap up our stewardship season, to dedicate yourselves once again to supporting the life and ministries of our church, to dedicate yourselves to one another and to our common life, and to dedicate yourselves once more on this journey of shared faith, learning, loving, serving, and growing in community. Amen.